Good morning, everyone. Let me have your attention. This workshop is Restoring a Passion for Prayer and Intercession in the Church. Our presenter is Siegfried Ignacia. I hope I said that right. And this workshop is sponsored by Driven. Welcome our presenter, please.
Okay. Yeah, you have my name almost right. It's Siegfried Ignacia. Thank you. Thank you. Well, as you know, we only have 30 minutes to talk to you, and I don't believe we're going to help you do this in 30 minutes. So I'm going to share with you briefly what will help you, and you will have to go home and do your homework. For the many books that have been written about the subject, it continues to be a great challenge. The name of this session gives the impression of having to go back to something that existed before. For some, it might be true. However, looking at the state of the church today, there are many who don't have a point of reference about prayer and intercession to go back to. For this reason, I would like to take a different approach. Instead of coming up with definitions of prayer and intercession, we can start with the following question: who are we and why should we pray? So on your note there, I hope you can follow a little bit, we have some definitions I want to read for you. It says, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the soul to God, through Christ, in the strength and assistance of the Spirit, for such things as God has promised, by John Bunyan. Prayer is the contact of a living soul with God. In prayer, God stoops to kiss men, to bless men, and to aid in everything that God can devise or man can need. Theophan the Red Recluse said, to pray is to descend with the mind into the heart and there to stand before the face of the Lord, ever present, all seeing within you. Jesus Christ himself modeled a life of prayer. My notes won't follow exactly the way you have them there, so you just have to just bear with me. I want to talk to you a little bit about the nature of God. It's my understanding that oftentimes prayer is being taken more intellectually than spiritually. YouTube is doing us a great harm when it comes to spirituality or seeking God, because we think everything you can go to 1, 2, 3 and it happens. With prayer, it's totally different. So remember, when you want to approach God, God is an invisible, personal, and living spirit. He's a personal being that's self-conscious and possesses intellect, feeling, and will. So the God from the Bible is a God that's transcendent, who stands apart from the universe as its creator, but who at the same time is immanent God, who resides with his creation, preserving it and caring for it as a heavenly father. God cares about us. So, God's personality has been revealed with Moses when he said, declare, God said to Moses, I am that I am. Okay? So, since man as a creature of God has intellect, emotions, and volition, and he's able to intelligently contemplate God and his universe as a rational person. God has designed us in such a way that we can connect with him. Although God's divine personality is far beyond us, okay, but he made men in such a way, he made it in such a way that we can communicate with him. I think sometimes we try too hard to communicate with God when God has designed us to communicate with him. Think about it for a second. We try so hard. In some religions, they beat themselves up with chains until they're bleeding to death for them to communicate with God. If God designed you with a chip to communicate with him, you need to learn the program so you can communicate with him. Amen? That just came to my mind right now. So God has made us to be able to worship him. He must certainly have endowed us with like characteristics to his nature, when he made man or us in his own image. And you know, there's many descriptions or definitions of what the image of God is. I'm gonna make it simple. There's something in us that's like God that we can connect with. We can fellowship with him, we can praise him, and we can honor him. So personality demands fellowship. We see fellowship in the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a loving relationship. And the same loving relationship that exists between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, God desires to convey this to us. So the picture is, God is a spirit. He's invincible, he's personal, and he's living, but he desires you. He desires to communicate with you. He desires a relationship with you. He desires you to have the same loving relationship that exists between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to repeat again. We come too hard. We do too much work when the work has already been done. God created you in such a way that you can relate, you can connect with him. Our challenge is we live in a society when everybody wants to arrive. Everybody wants to be there tomorrow, okay? It doesn't work that way. It takes time. It takes time, step by step, to grow and mature to be able to communicate with him. I don't know really why we are in such a rush to become to reach the finish line where there's so much work that God desires to do in our lives. My next point is what I call the nature of believers. Someone said, we are more spiritual than what we think. We are more spiritual. If you look at us, we know you learned this. We are, let me put it this way. We are a spirit, that's a soul, that's a body. But most of the time, we come, I have a body, a soul, and the spirit is the last thing that we think about, okay? God is a spirit, okay? We are humans are spiritual beings, okay? We are created, or we're created in the image of God. It's a special status that all human beings have as those made to reflect our Creator's character and commissioned to carry out his purposes in the world. We all have the image of God in us. I'm going to just tell you a quick story. In my couple of days ago, I was praying. I said, God, help me love your image in everyone. Because our approach to human beings is, I look at your face, I look at how you look, and I make a judgment, and then I choose how to approach you. What if I change it? What if I see the image of God in everyone? Okay, it's a different approach. Because then I will be able to love them regardless of who they are. Because God loves everyone. Okay? God loves everyone, whether they seek him or not. Imagine if we can change our mindset about this gospel that we say we know. It says, Emil Brunner, by the way, I don't know who she was. The image is our ability to have a relationship with God, reflected in the tendency of all societies to have some forms of worship. Remember this too, all societies have a form of worship. All societies. I'm not saying to you whether Christian or not, we all worship something, okay? But the image of God is to have a relationship with God in spirit and in truth. When we as believers in Christ connect to him. Also, God created us for relationship with him. That's how we're made. Until that relationship is found, there will always be a void at the core of our being. A vacuum that only God can fill. And we see in society, we try to fill this vacuum with some people say, I don't believe in anything. Everybody believes in something. Because that void, that hole is in there, you will try to fill it with something.
That's right.
Even when you're atheist, you will try to fill it with something because there is a yearning, there is a desire from the inside. Remember this. As believers in Christ, we are born. We are being regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, we are all partakers of the divine nature. I think these are things that we don't hear too much. That we are partakers of the divine nature. We say, I have Jesus in me. I'm born again by the Holy Spirit. I'm a new creation. Jesus said, what's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3:6. We should spend more time about what's born from the Spirit. To feed the spiritual life that we have in us. We are a miracle. I was reading a devotional the other day. It says Jesus said, somebody was writing, Jesus said, I humble myself when I come to this earth, so when I rose up to heaven, I can lift up my divinity in you. Okay? I can lift up my divinity in you. Okay? It doesn't have to do with your struggles, with all the things that you're going through because you're forgiven. It has to do for you to become more like Jesus. And after all my years in ministry, lately my desire is to be Jesus. Because I found religion has so many things that hinders me. I just came back from a mission trip 2 weeks ago. And my desire is to be Jesus. To go to the broken, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, and perhaps don't even tell them who I am, but let them experience the power and love of God. That's a different sermon. Okay? So, all who are thus born from God are sons of God and joint heirs with Christ. Okay? So, we are joint heirs with Christ without distinction of name, brothers and sisters with Christ, and with one another. We all are a family. We are like, do you remember, if you're old enough, the Verizon commercial many, many years ago? We're all connected. No, New York Telephone, because I live in Brooklyn many, many years. We are all connected, New York Telephone. So we are all connected by the Holy Spirit, and we have to recognize this. I believe that, watching too many news is destroying our idea of who we are, because our society is so divided, and unfortunately the same sentiment, because we carry it, and we carry it within the body of Christ. But we have to remember, we are God's children. John 3:1 says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that's what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. It says, God calls us his children. That's who we are. Do you call him Father? Do you call him Dad? With the same assurance, with the same determination, with the same depthness. I believe restoring prayer in our churches, in our lives, starts with knowing our identity. Because I'm going to tell you, program is not going to work.
Right.
They've done it many, many years. New strategies will not work. It's when you recognize who God is, who you are, and how you learn how to engage with him. Romans 8:16-17 says, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. God's Holy Spirit joined with our spirit. How do you know if you're saved? Do you go feel every day say, no, I'm not? How do you know you're saved? How do you know? You just know. You just know. You just know you're saved. No one has to tell you that you're saved because the Holy Spirit affirms you. St. Augustine said, to praise you is the desire of men. Women, we have to say nowadays too. A little piece of your creation, you stir man to take pleasure in praising you because you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. God is the one that stirs our heart. Often people say, I don't pray, I don't feel like to pray. I think what happens is when God stirs the heart to pray, out of disobedience, we don't. When does God stir your heart to pray? When it's inconvenient. At 2 a.m. in the morning. At 2 a.m. when you just want to roll over, you know, when it's cold. When you want to go somewhere that's very, very important. Even when your children come, say, hey, can you pray for me? We say, I don't have the time right now. We are seeking the moments that are good for us to engage with God. And God does exactly the opposite. My third point is the nature of prayer. It says prayer is a rare gift, not a popular, ready gift. Prayer is not the fruit of natural talents. It is the product of faith, of holiness, of deeply spiritual character. Men and women learn to pray as they learn to love. I learned, I believe, to pray by watching my mom praying. My mom wasn't a born-again Christian, but she went with her faith. She actually learned how to pray. And I love to pray. That's one of the gifts. It's a rare gift. But it's a gift, I believe, that we all should covet. Because it's having a relationship. It's talking to God. And I say this to my, I don't know how much time I have, to my friends or church often. Too many of us has God as a closet with many, many drawers. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to use the right word. And for us, prayer is to pull them up all the time. Okay? Prayer is a relationship with God.
That's right.
Okay? When you take a child, a baby, when you put him on your chest, okay, the baby feels the warmth, whatever it is, the emotion. And often I believe that's what God wants to do with us. We are so weary. We are so busy. We're so tired. Because when we come to God, we don't know how to shut up and be quiet. I pray for some people sometimes. Yeah. When I'm praying, they're praying too. I say, shut up. Let me pray for you. Okay? Let me do the work. You come to me, let me pray for you. You don't have to pray. Okay? So, prayer should always begin and end with a recognition that we can and ought to glorify God as the Father. There shouldn't be an emergency. You may cry because of emotion, but you need to come to God with a trust. He's my Father. Okay? If you're a parent, you know that. You say to your son or your daughter, I'm your father, I'm your mom. What are you saying to them? I will take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything. And I think the problem we have today is the lack of faith, lack of identity, and lack of connection. If you are born again in Christ, if you are a new creation, if you have the Holy Spirit, if you know God has a desire for you to connect with you, if you know that the desire that you have in you has been given to you by God, that's another thing. The desire to pray doesn't come from you. The desire to be here wasn't your desire. You're here because, no. God is the one who inspires you to be here, so what's your problem? I'm preaching. Prayer is resonance. It's fine-tuning of the spiritual life to always receive the present message. It's the fine-tuning of the spiritual life to always receive the present message. I learned this recently from a preacher that said, oftentimes we live a life based upon what God said 20 years ago. Okay? God called you 20 years ago. The question is, what is God saying to you today? Okay? We want fresh anointing. We go to all over to seek fresh anointing. You are the temple. The Holy Spirit is in you. It says in Romans 8, 26, 27, and the Holy Spirit help us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed and words. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? Why do I wrestle so much if I have the Holy Spirit in me? And when I don't know what to pray, He's the one that helps me pray. That's why prayer is the fine-tuning of our spiritual life to always receive the present message. Also, prayer helps us to align with God's plan and will for our lives, to partner with Him to accomplish His purposes. I want to put this at the end. Many of our prayers are very, I hope I won't offend you, okay? Selfish,
yep.
Egotistic, 100%. Prideful. They don't have anything to do with God's purposes. Mm. We go to church, we're servants. It's all God's purposes. It's God's plan. It's to preach the gospel. It's the Great Commission. So all the requests that we have to ask ourselves sometimes, what are they doing to promote the gospel? What are they doing to spread the gospel? I say this. Do you know, we have become a church where we cater to you so much. We cuddle you so much. We keep you in this blanket all the time to make you feel good. We want to fix you, make you feel better, more prayers, more answers. No, it's not about that. It's about in your brokenness, in your weariness, to be able to pray according to God's plan. Because do you know, when you're weary, when you're broken, when you're needy, there's always someone worse than you. Yeah. And can you imagine if you can become the Jesus to that person? Okay, but we all want perfection. Can you imagine in your crisis, whatever crisis that you have, let's say you go to the ER and you are sitting there, you know, 20 hours waiting for your turn, and another person comes next to you, you know Jesus, and then suddenly you become Jesus to that person. These are the kind of people that God are looking for, that are willing to pray according to His purpose. Amen. When we are children of God, we're confident that He hears our prayers whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. Remember, it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about His plan. And since we know He hears us when we make our requests, we know that we will give us what we ask for according to His will. In my own imagination, in my own mind, I look at prayer as if, usually for us, it's downloading, you know? Yeah. Downloading all the time. Yeah. Downloading. Do you know your download speed on your computer? You can go to summerspeed.com, it tells you downloading. So my thought is, what about uploading? What about you upload? And these are things we have to learn. What about you praising God? What about you telling God, I desire you? What about you telling God, I love you? Okay? The desire. David said in Psalm 41:2, as the deer longs for the streams of water, so my soul longs for you. So my soul desires you. What about the desire? The desire to know God as Father. The desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The desire to be comforted by Him and to let Him know how much you appreciate what He has done for you. God desires to shape us, mold us, and fine-tune us. Okay? I'm going to give you a quick example here. Hopefully the sound is on. Because it wasn't working before, and now I'm going to put it on my computer here for you to listen to. Let's see, it won't work. Let's look at this. That's my grandson. He just turned 2 years old. That was in February. One of the things is, my son says to me, the only person he talks on the phone is me. even when I go in person, he talks to me, as you can hear. He cannot speak well yet. That's how I see, look at ourselves. Prayer is fine-tuning our speech, okay? I do get what he's saying, I do understand, but in his mind, he's speaking everything clearly. He knows exactly what he'd be saying, okay? And that's how we are often in the presence of God, that God desires to fine-tune us so we can learn how to communicate with him and hear it. So in order to restore, like we were saying before, prayer and intercession in our churches, I think we have to go the old way, the true way, and stop trying to find all these things they offer us today. And remember, God is a spirit, okay, living spirit. We also have a spiritual nature, and the nature of prayer. For you to restore this in church, you need to start with yourself. You need to take time to pray and seek the face of God daily and be committed to him, not for a show. And it's going to take you a long, long, long time to do it. Don't look for a quick fix, but rather seek the face of God. Amen? We have a couple more minutes. We have like 2 minutes. 2 minutes. If any questions, hopefully they can answer your questions for you. Or comments. Yes?
What are some ways we can effectively seek the face of God?
What are some ways we can effectively seek the face of God? You know, they use the word. One thing I've learned is we have a hard time keeping our focus on one thing. Okay? I'm going to tell you something simple you can do. Start by, try to sit for 30, let's say 10 minutes, focusing on Jesus, one thing. Okay? That will help you focus in prayer, because I can pray and think about 20 subjects at the same time.
That's right.
I'm a professional when it comes to that. But I have learned that to start step by step to focus, and I can sit for 30 minutes and thinking just about one thing, and it may help me focus on God. Okay? Routine. Prayer driving on the true way doesn't work. You need to carve time at home intentionally. Let's say, I don't know, somewhere in the morning. I have a routine every morning. I wake up in the morning and I pray. That's my lifeline. Okay? So you need to carve a schedule for you to implement it in your life, be committed to it, and dedicated to it. It doesn't necessarily have to be crying all the time. Okay? It can be worship. It can be praise. It all depends on your make. If you're a person that likes like music in the background, you put music in the background. There's no one way of doing it. It depends on your personality. I like silence. I like to go on my knees. Sometimes I like to walk around. And sometimes I like to scream and say, God, I know you hear me, but I need to just get some frustration out. Just do it, but I know you hear me. Did I answer your question? All right. Anyone else?
How long did it take from the time that you started? I know you watched your mom pray.
Yes.
But when you focused on, like, I'm making this time, to the time where it became natural.
Do you know, I don't remember the years, but I've been doing this for many, many years. For, I would say, at least 25 years. I have a daily routine. I get up early in the morning. Way early in the morning when you're sleeping, I pray, and it's just growing. It's reading resources, seeking, spending time in our church. We have time of prayer and fasting at the beginning of the year, so it's all your. You have to be intentional in everything. You have to read, you have to seek, you have to be quiet, you have to be silent, and you have to wait on God, and you have to love it through good times and bad times. You must love it. Okay? Thank you very much. I think I received. is the end of my time. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. We're dismissed.